You're listening to oneofus.net.
One of Us is a podcast and video network funded all but entirely by donations and subscriptions. We do accept pitches for audio-based or banner ads, but on a case-by-case basis. If you're interested in that, contact us at oneofusnet@gmail.com. With the amount of audio and video content we generate, it is expensive and extremely time-consuming to keep things running. Please go to the webpage oneofus.net and sign up for a subscription at $2, $5, $10, or $25 and get a ton of bonus content. One of Us needs and appreciates all your support.
Nathan, this is why we can have nice things.
You know, I like
Scott Joplin is rolling.
I like George Roy Hill,
as is the entire cast and crew of The Sting. I mean, as is John Belushi, who said to himself, "What did you expect? The Sting?" As did Sting, aka Gordon Sumner of the Police.
Robert Redford has just passed away listening to this podcast.
Died right now. You killed Robert Redford.
We're just getting all of the Sting jokes out of the way. There's only two or three of them.
You got another Sting joke, or do you want to save it for later?
I mean, I think his solo work's okay, but I think his work with the Police is a lot better.
All right, guys.
Agreed.
So my final thoughts. So we're talking about the new 2024 movie Sting, written and directed by Kia Roche Turner, who did the Wormwood movies. Is that what it is?
Yeah, Wormwood.
Yes. Wormwood movies. They're Australian zombie movies that that are slight touches of comedy in them, and so they don't like take themselves too seriously, but they're like gore fests, they're ridiculous, and they're kind of fun.
It's also directed by George Roy Hill, who directed Slapshot, and
this is his first like quote-unquote American movie, even though I'm pretty sure all of this takes still shot in Australia, because the entire cast is Australian, which still proves the point that Australians, for some reason, are the best at accents.
Just the best Americans.
Best American versions accent.
Of Americans.
Yeah. Now, granted, this movie takes place in like the heart of Brooklyn, I guess, and no one has a New York accent to save their lives, but they're like, they're American as, you know,
takes
apple
place
pie.
In two blocks.
Yeah.
It's set in Brooklyn. I mean, I'm sure half the people in Brooklyn are not native to New York.
Sure. That's a good point. The movie does not, take its time to like, it just ramps it up immediately where a little, asteroid falls into Earth. It falls into this, apartment building, and it is a little, egg that has a seemingly Black Widow spider, in it. And it crawls out, and then a little girl, played by, Aaliyah Brown, who plays Charlotte, finds it. And basically puts it in a jar and starts to take care of it because she's a little like a loner in the building. She has a stepfather who's played by Ryan Corr, who plays Ethan, and her mom, Penelope Mitchell, who plays Heather.
And the spider starts to lay out the perfect grift against Robert Shaw.
But
I just think if we combine the two, it's really funny.
It's really great. But
it's just for me and Marco.
For you. Mostly. For you.
It's at least 30% for Marco.
I'm 30% laughing with you. I am 70% laughing at you.
It's okay.
Oh, yeah. Marco and Nathan, say hi.
Hello. Oh, hey.
And I'm right. Shut up.
Nathan, don't stand so close. Stand to me. Just don't stand so close to me.
So, Charlotte starts to discover that the spider can do mimicry, like where the spider can like do a little whistle, and she's like, "Oh man, that's really cool." And it also has an incredible appetite for things, and it starts to grow and grow. But she also has this relationship with her stepfather, Ethan, who is a comic book artist, and she happens to be the writer of the comic book, and the mom is more or less their manager, trying to do broker deals and try to, you know, expand the comic as much as possible.
She's got more of a real job, but it's clear that this is the way that he's bonding with her. He's taking these ideas that she's been throwing out and he's like, hey, you know, I'll make them. And
yeah,
and we'll, you know, he has some other gigs that are not, you know, related, but I think it's called Fangirl.
Yeah.
You know, and it's just this really self-empowered little girl. It's very acute. And that is really the big relationship in the film. It's
yeah.
the stepfather
and daughter. Yeah. Stepdaughter.
But yeah, she does bring this little egg and, you know, it very quickly hatches and it's kind of a cute little spider in its own way.
Yeah.
The way it trills, it sounds like Gizmo.
Until it becomes a gremlin.
And then it gets very, very big, very, very fast. And of course, you know, it's, mayhem will ensue. You're right. It is all entirely shot on a soundstage in Australia. Yeah. There are some exterior shots. I don't know if they're done with CGI or what.
It's all the pickup shots they did from Ghostbusters Frozen yeah. Empire.
Oh, can I just talk about that?
Right.
It's like, check this out, guys. For those who don't know, this is the second new release I have seen this week.
You and I.
Yeah, that is set in New York, where New York is beset by a freak winter weather condition. Is threatened by some crazy, evil, otherworldly thing, mm-hmm. and is really just about a dorky dude who wants his stepdaughter to call him dad.
Holy shit, it's the same fucking movie.
It's the same fucking movie.
Holy fuck, mm-hmm. I
Except
just realized that.
I didn't think this one would be the better of the two.
I did not think so either, but...
Here we are.
Yeah, I thought this was actually kind of fucking cute.
I had
a really fun time with this one. And what I was going to say originally, until Nathan ruined everything from the get-go, that, you know, it's movies like Jaws and...
The Sting.
Parts of even Anaconda, when it's practical effects of the snake. And especially Arachnophobia. Like, those movies, as a kid, terrified me to no end. Mainly because, just again, they're practical, they're there. This does suffer from the CGI-ness of the spider a little bit, because I don't think it's that threatening. But what I do give it credit for is, like, oh, they do not hold back from the gore.
No, not
and
at all.
That saves it. But I think even like the human relationships between Charlotte and Ethan, I was like, oh, well, I'm actually kind of invested in this.
Thankfully, one of the things that I really liked about the movie is that as the spider got bigger.
Yeah.
It got more practical in its effects. You could tell seeing like a tactile spider, which, you know,
it's Weta Workshop doing the physical effects.
I didn't realize
and
that.
And a very nice blend of CG and practical for what has to be a pretty modest budget. And I think for its budget and its runtime and for its storytelling ambitions, it works perfectly fine.
Yeah.
For the and boy, they do not skimp on the gore at all.
No, and they do it well, too, because there's a lot of moments where how you're even introduced to Charlotte is that she is sneaking around in the air ducts, and I was watching it with Eric.
Fuck, Charlotte's Web. I just got it.
Really?
Oh, my God. I just got
you
that,
You didn't
too.
Get Charlotte's
I
Web?
I totally just got
no.
that, too.
There are so many...
I was too busy waiting for Robert Shaw to show up.
You got so focused on Sting, which is named after the... You know, the amazing thing is she's like, oh, I got to give you a name. And she looks over to the bookshelf and sees
the Hobbit.
The Hobbit and goes, Sting. And clearly she hasn't read Lord of the Rings yet, or else she would have called it Shelob.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking too.
Like, huh.
But the Hobbits for 12, that's a good starter.
It makes
for
sense.
Her.
Yeah.
When I first saw the part, I was just like, oh, yeah, she's going to say Shelob. And then she said Sting. And I'm
Sting.
Like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
Because, you know, the thing is, this movie does, again, like Ghostbusters, it is. Very much a throwback to the 80s. The problem is, instead of, you know, pandering to the nostalgia, it's a modern day contemporary film.
Right.
But it plays like an unholy mashup of like Gremlins and Batteries Not Included.
Batteries Not Included, exactly.
You know, it's
yeah.
all these people in an apartment who are all kind of quirky and we get to know them.
And there's not a ton of them.
And there's not a ton of them. And the cute little alien is actually just a horrible giant spider from space.
Right.
That's really that straightforward. And right from that beginning of a clever little dollhouse opening title sequence, which brings back the classic Stephen King font, you know, it's kind of giving you this sense of Kia, whatever his name is, the director.
Kia Turner or something.
I want to get it right.
George Roy Hale.
Kia Roche Turner.
Kia Roche Turner. it's very clear that this is a throwback. This is something you would have seen on a shelf at the Blockbuster.
Yeah.
You know, in a clamshell video case. It's like a self-contained little narrative, and it is gory as fuck, and it just, there's lots of little references and little winks and nods to the 80s. It's not about recreating it. It's not about the nostalgia. It's about trying to capture that tone.
Yeah.
And that kind of tightness that I think those little genre films did very well back then.
Yeah, it's not trying to be like Super 8 or anything where it's like it's almost too beholden where you're just like, oh yeah, I get it. All right, 80s Central. This is a throwback that feels like it could be found on a shelf in a video store.
And the other thing that I commented about Ghostbusters is that there's fucking stakes in this and people are getting killed.
Yeah,
and for even like how sympathetic they could actually be, if you look at them objectively, you're like, oh fuck. And what I do love about also this movie is that if you see an animal, they're probably going to die.
Yeah.
And
I mean, the landlord, I mean, really, the thing they do is they create a sense of empathy for all of these characters.
Yeah, yeah.
This isn't a slasher film where you just can't wait for them to all die.
No, they're not terrible, except for the crazy
for
German.
For the landlord lady. But even she doesn't deserve to die that horribly. And the first kill is another thing I appreciated. They take about 30, 40 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Sting starts out small, and that landlady is a horrible bitch. I mean, she's unrepentantly horrible.
Yeah.
But I can see why people live there, because she's very clearly got a lax policy about pets. Everybody in this place has pets, and that is convenient for the story, because this thing has to grow,
just fodder.
But when you finally get that first human kill, I'm not going to spoil it, but it is brutal, and
it's fucked.
The director gives a moment. This is a character we barely know anything about, but he gives a moment to show that character, to tell us that they are sad, that they're depressed, that they're drinking a lot. Something really terrible happened to this person, and we have no context for it. It's just enough empathy so that when they die, you're like, oh my God, that poor person did not deserve to die that horribly.
Yeah.
It is brutal and slow.
Fucked.
Yeah.
It hurts. And I'm hurting for this person that I don't even know.
Right. And there's still great like character moments, I think, with Ethan when, man, so many things are going wrong. Cause it does the Ghostbusters thing better where, you know, he's trying to like, you know, I want to be her dad. I'm not leaving like her dad did. And he fucks up a little bit here and there. And it's just like everything's being put upon him. And he's also the, the maintenance guy?
Yeah. He's the supervisor.
He's a supervisor. He's a soup. And that's not going well either. And so just everything is piling on. There's deadlines for the comic, and just has this great outburst. And what I love that the movie did do in this like particular situation is like, all right, let's fucking wrap this up. Yeah. And we're like, whoa, we're doing this shit now. And I loved how the movie understood its pacing. The editing was really good. It was like, let's fucking go. We know what we want here. We understand the characters fully at this point. Let's get this going to where let's see the mayhem finally just like unleash.
Yeah. I mean, it's a gentleman's 94 minutes. It's like, it's perfect. It's exactly what you would want out of a movie called Sting with a giant spider.
Right.
I mean, like, you know, I have struggled to say like more about the movie because it really didn't like absolutely linger in my imagination or anything. It's kind of one of those you fire and forget sort of movies, but
solid at the same time.
Yeah, if you're fucking like 14 years old or whatever listening to us, which God, why are you listening to us old fucks talking?
Learn from our mistakes.
Oh, speak for myself. Yeah. If you're like 14 years old and you're firing this up for a sleepover, this is like perfect fodder for that.
Yeah.
As much as I appreciate that they totally went for the gore, I have to admit, there's a little part of me that kind of wishes they had eased up to lower the rating.
The PG-13.
Yeah. I think this would be a great way to introduce kids to horror.
Yeah.
Because the actress playing Charlotte is just really relatable. Yeah. She's very charismatic. You know, I mean, granted, she's just like, you know, a couple of years and a trip to Hot Topic away from entering a lifelong goth phase. But right now, you're just like, this is a really endearing little girl.
Yeah.
And it's kind of her fault. She's very protective of this spider, but you're like, you're 12. You shouldn't understand the full ramifications of what's going to happen here.
Right, right.
But when it finally does, and she's like, she has to go all John McClane. And I'm like, man, how many times do you see a little kid actor in this sort of 80s style pastiche, but it's actually a contemporary film, plays all those loving nods to the classics, but still gives you something fresh and new. This is a great intro to horror, but I think it's way too hard for a lot of kids today.
Yeah. This, the, some of the deaths do happen off screen, or they're just like, you know, pulled an event or something like that. But when some of the deaths do happen on screen, you're like, goo, like it is very intense. And, you know, I think they could have done without the cursing a few times. Like, yeah, like, I agree. Like, it could have been brought down, but I do appreciate they went a little hard on some of the things. Cause I mean, I don't know, like, you know, you think back when you were a kid and the first like R rated horror movie that you saw, you're just like, oh my fucking God, this is what these things can be. I thought it was just, you know, I mean, Jaws, for God's sakes, is still PG, granted it's the 70s, but, and then hell, even Anaconda. I mean, I'm going to only talk about those three movies and Arachnophobia.
Can you just, look, we all know you've only seen four films.
I've only seen four movies.
It really is giving us like,
one of them is not Boss Baby tweet. Yeah,
got a lot of Boss Baby.
This is giving
here.
Real Jaws vibes. Yeah. giving real Anaconda
this
vibes.
Is real George, this is real The Sting vibes, real George Roy Hill vibes off of this.
But yeah, I think this was a fun little blast. Let's go into final thoughts. Fuck it, let's go. Marco, how about you lead the way?
I mean, I've kind of already said what I would have said in my final thoughts. I do have a few qualms about it. There is a moment where a character is kind of looks like they're going to do like the adult responsible thing, and then you realize that they're actually doing a heel turn, and I'm like, I kind of dislike that, because they did such a good job of the idea of like, there's all these neighbors, these people you don't necessarily know, but in a crisis, like everybody actually steps up and, you know, bands together. So it seemed like the heel turn was weird, because the outcome would have been the same, whether that person was acting with noble intentions or not.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
But,
yeah,
you know, I thought they were trying to humanize that character, and then they become kind of horrible for no real fucking reason. But that's okay.
Except for just being a coward.
For just being horrible. And either way, this is a lot of fun. There is a part of me that does wish they had toned it down.
Yeah.
Just because if I were 14 years old, I don't have any kids, but if I had a 14-year-old daughter and this was kind of in that PG-13 range, I'd probably like put it on the DVD shelf and just pull it out a little bit slightly just so it stands out and maybe will catch her eye. Like, you know, daddy's giving you permission to watch this. You know, I'm leaving it out there. I know you're going to be interested and your mind's going to be blown. And then your mom's going to scream at me when you can't sleep for three nights. But still, it's a good, good intro for horror. But with the gore factor, it earns its hard R. And Wright is correct. You don't see a lot of on-screen death, but the few you do are so hard and so brutal that you just fill in the blanks for all the other ones. It's a really smart, effective technique. Make the first kill the most horrible one, and then you don't need to see it again. You know what's happening to those
and
people.
All the animals like being strewn about like fucking Cenobites and shit.
Yeah,
it's
gnarly, but it's funny, and it has a lot of heart, and it captures that weird tone that a lot of those early Amblin, you know, movies had, where it's like, it's traumatic, it's horrific, but also cute and sentimental and tear-jerking. Shouldn't work, but somehow it does. And to Nathan's point, it's a tight 94 minutes. It goes down smooth.
Yeah.
Is it a classic? Nah, but this is a good, fun time. This is a perfect little throw it on the player and just have fun with friends. What kind of movie? I'm going to give this 8 out of 10 mothballs.
Ooh, nice. Nathan?
I feel like I'm kind of lower on this movie than everybody else. I mean, I greatly enjoyed it. I must echo what Marco is saying so eloquently, which is, I wish this were a really great intro horror movie to like tell all my siblings to go watch.
Yeah.
Because this is so kind of Gremlins, kind of Critters, kind of all these different types of movies that it's knowingly referencing, but not overtly so much. It's a tight 94 minutes, which you gotta love. There's some really great creature effects. Honestly, like, the kid character is well acted, but also it's one of those where it's just like, Jesus fucking Christ, can you take a hint that this spider is like got some shit going on?
Not Sting. It couldn't have been Sting who did this horrible thing.
I had my best friend when I was growing up, he got a goddamn tarantula when he was a kid. And he knew I have arachnophobia. I was like, why the... And I would spend the night like over the weekends at his place. And he would take the fucker out. And like, take the fucking hint. Like, what? You know spiders are gross and weird.
I didn't realize
that fucking kid.
I didn't realize you were friends with the McAllisters.
Oh, dude. Dude.
Buzz, your girlfriend. Woof. Anyways. I think it's a fine little horror movie. It's definitely the kind where if you're scrolling through Shudder and you see it, it's
you're not going to go wrong.
You're not going to go wrong. It's like a perfect 1 a.m. movie. Sure. Start at 1 a.m., ends at like 2:34, and you're just like, all right, solid. I got some pizza. I got some beer.
You can do math. It's great.
I know. I just... Boy math. Anyways, I would give this a 6 out of 10 hands of poker that Robert Shaw got upset at during the 1973 film. The
so thing. If this no. is a video podcast, our eyes rolled out of our skulls.
Yes. No one's ever accused Nathan of just beating a joke into death.
Yeah. It's the comedy rules of fifths, right? I think I've brought it up five times now.
It's not just three. It's in sets of three. So like by 36,
this is better than primes. This is better than this thing too.
You know, I think to Nathan's point, I'm probably rating a little bit higher and I might've gone a little bit lower, but I think watching this the day before watching Ghostbusters, it's just one of those movies that's kind of disappointing enough that it kind of temporarily recalibrates everything.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, oh, now everything tastes like an IPA. Well, I shouldn't have started with that.
Right.
You know.
I should rewatch all the Marvel movies after watching Madam Web. Y'all are showing me the bright side.
Come on, man.
You're like, No Way Home, that's a fucking 5-star film.
I enjoyed it. I thought it was really cute and fun. I thought the gore was... deserved, and you know, like you said too, Marco, is like I wonder if this could have been a PG-13 movie to where it was a little more of that intro horror. We've already all said this stuff, but I dug the characters. I thought that were interesting, and I thought everyone was really good, and they brought their A game to it. They treated it all seriously. It wasn't like hokey or campy, except for like the exterminator a little bit, but even his character at least took
comic relief.
Yeah, but he still took it seriously when it deserved it.
Yeah,
and I fucking hate spiders. And so anytime there's a spider movie, I'm kind of down because I don't know why. I want to face my fears. And I thought it was still kind of effective. It was, I will say this, it wasn't necessarily scary for us because we're just so desensitized to fucking anything.
Unless they have 8 legs.
Yeah. I thought it was a fun little time. Like you said, 1 a.m.er. Let's just get it done. There's nothing else to watch. This is a good one. And you're not going to go wrong.
It's going to be on Shudder.
Oh, no, it is going to be on Shudder.
Oh, okay. Cool. Yeah. Well, confirmed.
Jesus.
It should be.
Right. The CEO of Shudder being like, I put it in my curation.
We need the subscriptions, man. Please help us.
Yeah.
But anyway.
I think I still have mine active. Shit.
I'm going to give it a 7 out of 10. Fucking birds that are eaten. I had something else and I totally forgot what it was going to be. God damn it. But
Seven out of 10 dead parrot sketches.
Dead parrot sketches.
This is a dead parrot. This parrot is deceased.
Eric and I were talking about this. Like anytime you see an animal on screen in a horror movie, you're like, oh, don't fucking kill that animal. But anytime that you see a fucking bird, everyone was like, fuck that bird. Kill it.